Marriage Today presents Sins That Bring Curses Into Our Lives by Jimmy Evans.
I want to talk about seven sins that bring curses into our lives. When we talk about the issue of blessings and curses in God, He blesses us when we obey Him in myriads of ways. But there are specific things that bring a penalty of God, a very serious penalty of God. We really need to be specific so that all of us can clearly understand where the line is and where we cross that line. Now, I want to talk about this. Let me begin by reading a scripture. And this is John chapter 8. Now, this is Jesus speaking in John chapter 8. And this begins with verse 31. Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered Him and said, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say that you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." And Jesus says to them that very clearly, whenever we sin, we become the servant of sin. Whenever we obey God, we become His servant. There's no such thing as being the servant of God when you're living in a lifestyle of sin, of unrepentant sin. You're the servant now of that sin. And this is Romans now, Romans chapter 6, verse beginning with verse 11. And Paul says, "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave who you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have fruit of holiness. And the end is everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we see a theme in the New Testament, and that theme is we become the slave of whoever we obey. If we obey our flesh and the passions of our flesh and the devil operating through our flesh, we become in bondage to that. This seminar is called Freedom from Your Past. And that means if in your past there has been a lifestyle of sin, you're in slavery to that. And you're also in slavery to the curses, the death. That's what the Bible calls it, the responding death to your behavior. The only way to be set free from that is to repent of the way that we're living our life in presenting ourselves as slaves of unrighteousness and turning toward God. That's what Jesus was saying to the Pharisees. If you accept My word and abide in My word, you're indeed My disciples, then you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. However, if you practice sin, you're slaves. It offended the Pharisees. It offended the Pharisees. They said, "We've never been the slave of anyone." And Jesus said, "Oh, yes, you have. Even though you say that you're godly and even though you prance around Jerusalem in all your pretty robes and all of that, you are slaves of sin because you have presented yourselves regularly and continuously and unrepentantly to sins in your life. Therefore, you are not God's servant. You are sin's servant." Jesus did not die on the cross so that we could keep serving the devil without consequences. And many people believe that. Many people believe that what grace means is I can live a sloppy life without consequences. Ladies and gentlemen, that's simply not true. Grace means you can be totally free from bondage to the devil to serve your wonderful Jesus. That you can serve Him all the days of your life in spite of your weaknesses, in spite of your frailties. He will forgive you and remove the curse of sin and give you His Holy Spirit to give you the power to do the right thing if You come to Him and submit to Him. And that's where it all happens. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And that's what we're supposed to do, is repent of our pride and humble ourselves before God. And then He gives us His grace. Seven indicators of a curse that we talked about in the last session. Mental and or emotional breakdown. Repeated or chronic sickness, especially if it's hereditary. A barrenness, a tendency to miscarry or related female problems. Breakdown of marriage and family, chronic financial insufficiency. Being accident prone or a family history of suicides or unnatural or untimely deaths. And so those things in the Bible, that's what God warned Israel of in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Seven indicators of a curse. And here are seven sins the Bible specifically talks about that bring curses into our lives. Now remember, Proverbs 26:2 says, a curse without a cause will not alight. Unless there's a cause, there is no curse. So we know where there is a curse, there has to be a cause for that curse. And so here are some of the causes. Number one, anti-Semitism. And that means being against Jewish people or speaking against Jewish people. Now, in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, God came to Abraham and He said to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families of the earth, not just Jewish families, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we know that Hitler was anti-Semitic. We obviously know that Germany during World War II, they were anti-Semitic. And we know that ultimately what happened because of their anti-Semitism, there's never been a nation on the earth blessed that was anti-Semitic. Do you understand that all the Arabs around Israel today, and they're not all the Arabs are anti-Semitic necessarily, but you realize that all the Arab nations around Israel today, they own millions and millions and zillions of acres of land. And did you realize that Israel exists on a piece of land smaller than the Texas Panhandle, approximately 30 miles wide by 120 miles long, and Israel is more powerful than all the Arab nations combined? Israel is the third largest exporter of agricultural produce in the world on that much land. Israel is, they're unbelievably blessed. 50 years ago, they took a desert and it's blossomed like a rose, just like the Bible said. I mean, that God's hand is on those people, it's undeniable. But there is a theology in the church today that is a damnable theology, and it's called replacement theology. There are many Christians who believe that the church has replaced Israel. In Romans chapter 9 through chapter 11, it speaks against that. And the Apostle Paul is saying there, they are the natural branch we were grafted in. How dare you be arrogant toward Israel? Now are Jews saved if they don't accept Christ? No, ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe they are. I think there's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you, regardless of whether they're saved or not, God is still operating through that nation. When the church is raptured one day, I hope today, I hope before this seminar is over, is when the church is raptured, do you understand that all evangelism at that moment takes place through 144,000 saved Jews? That the end of human history, that the spotlight will be upon Israel and the salvation on the earth will be dependent upon them? And I remind you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a problem with Jews, you have a problem with your Savior. Because He is 100% completely, totally Jewish. His mother was a Jew. His father was a Jew. His family were all Jews. His nation, they were all Jewish. And it's amazing how many Christian people are anti-Semitic. And that's one of the things about replacement theology. Replacement theology says there's no Jews are not, they mean nothing to God. Listen to what another Christian leader said. This is a Christian leader that if I said his name, you'd know his name. He said Israel is an armpit of a nation that God could care less about. That's a Christian leader, a very well-known Christian leader. An armpit of a nation. That's replacement theology. When the church came along, boom, we just kicked Israel out, and now it's the church and Israel means nothing. Well, I remind you that every single person in the early church was Jewish. There wasn't a Gentile there until Cornelius showed up. And God came to Peter and dropped a sheet down in front of his face and says, now everything is clean that was unclean before. And He wasn't just talking about foods to eat. He was talking about the Gentiles. And it was at that moment that someone came from Cornelius's house begging Peter to go. And Peter went to the Gentiles. Remember, the Jews had a problem with the Gentiles. And they had a big debate among themselves saying, can a Gentile be saved? Can non-Jewish people even be a part of the church? And Peter came back from Cornelius' house and said, it was amazing. I went to Cornelius' house and I preached the gospel, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them there the same way he did upon us at Pentecost. And the leaders in Jerusalem, all Jews, scratched their head and said, that's amazing. It's amazing that a Gentile can be saved. And now we're sitting here talking bad about them. Thank God for those people.
Amen.
They gave us the Bible. They gave us our Savior. My gosh. Don't ever curse a Jewish person. Don't ever get an attitude about it. Don't ever say anything against them, because they're blessed of God. Does that mean God doesn't love Arabs or anyone else? He loves everyone, ladies and gentlemen. But there was a special purpose that God had upon Israel in the beginning. He's not finished with it yet. And he came to Abraham and says, Abraham, whoever blesses you, I'll bless them. Isn't that simple? You say, how do I get blessed today? Well, just bless a Jewish person. Bless Israel. Is that hard, ladies and gentlemen? Well, how do you get cursed? Say something about them. Have an attitude. It led to Germany. 6 million Jews being destroyed. Can you imagine now how demonic that is? Can you imagine how absolutely satanic it is that a well-educated, well-financed nation would justify the destruction of 6 million human lives because they truly believe that those people were of a lower order than everybody else? When in actuality, what really caused the destruction of 6 million Jews is Adolf Hitler was jealous of the blessing of God on them. They invent the nuclear weapons. They are geniuses. They can go into a nation, a dirty little dust bowl of a nation, and turn it into a paradise in 50 years. They take our military equipment and soup it up and teach us how to use it. I was in Israel on Mount Carmel, and one of our F-14s that had been modified was coming over our heads, taking off over the Mediterranean Sea. And I'm just telling you, our F-14s are bad. When they get them, they're bad, bad. I used to work with a guy who was a tank operator. It was a tank operator in the military. And we went to Israel for them to teach us how to use our tanks. I'm just telling you, these people are blessed of God, and many people see the blessing and they say, well, they control all the money and they control all this and they do all this and they do all that. Well, that's called the blessing of God. When you're blessed, you just act smarter than other people who aren't blessed. Because one of the curses is confusion and doing dumb stuff like Hitler did. So Hitler says, you know, those doggone Jews, they control all the money. So what did he do? He ended up killing himself, driving his nation into the ground. So what happens, ladies and gentlemen? I'm telling you that anti-Semitism brings a curse. Don't ever curse a Jew or Israel or get into this replacement theology nonsense. Is the church the church? You better believe we are. We're the bride of Jesus Christ. But we have a tremendous amount to owe to Jewish people, and many of our brothers and sisters that we'll spend eternity with are Jews, including our Lord. Number two, sin that brings a curse, false gods. Exodus 20, the Lord spoke all these things, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself in heaven above, or the earth beneath, or that which is in the water beneath. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the third to the fourth generation of those who hate me. Isaiah 45, verse 21, tell it and bring forth your case, yet let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have I not the Lord, that there is no God besides me, a just God and Savior? There is no God besides me. God comes and he clearly tells us now that we're to have no other gods before him. Let me tell you how Jesus said it in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll give you all these things. If you make God, God, and he is first in your life, Jesus says, I promise you, all the things that you're worried about will fall at your feet. Everything that you're striving to get by your own power, if you would make God first, Jesus promises, it would just be added to you. It would be a blessing. The proverb says, it's the blessing of the Lord that makes a man rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. You know what that means? It means when you're following God and doing things his way, you financially prosper, and it doesn't cost you your family. It doesn't cost you your marriage. It doesn't cost you your reputation. It doesn't cost you your health. He adds no sorrow to it. I want to tell you something. I want that in my life. Amen. I want to be financially blessed, and I don't want it to have any negative effect. And Jesus says, that's when you make God first. There are three categories of false gods. The first, gods of mispriority. And that is putting money. Jesus says, you can serve God or mammon, but you can't serve both. If money is your God and you're serving money, you're under a curse. God will never bless it because you're putting the God of mammon. Let me tell you what mammon is a God. And this now, mammon refers to money personified. Here's what money is. Money is a God that offers you everything that God does without any moral obedience. In other words, a person who worships money, money offers you security like God does. Money offers you power like the Holy Spirit does. Money offers you to be someone like God does, that He's made you significant to rule and reign with Him. But money says you're going to have the right credit cards and drive the right cars and you're going to drive up to your country club and you're going to be somebody. And God says, if you would worship me, He says in James 4 there, whoever humbles himself, I will exalt them. God promises if we humble ourselves to Him, He will exalt us. But money promises the same thing. But you know, you can worship money and be exalted and sleep with anybody you want to. You can serve money and, you know, watch porn on the computer. I mean, you can worship money and there's no moral requirements. That's why Larry Flint likes it. That's why people like that, Dennis Rodman, that's the way they do that. Because they have money and that makes them somebody and makes them powerful and makes them secure, but they can live any way they want to live. But they're cursed. And that's what we have to understand. Gods of mispriority and also putting ourselves before God. That the first consideration always is about me. That's why Jesus says, if anyone wants to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself. What does that mean? Get off the throne of your life. The first thought that you should not have every day is, how does this affect me? The first thought you should have in everything you do, in everything you say, in the way you live is, how does it affect the kingdom of God and the reputation of my Lord? How does this affect God? How does this affect my witness? Everything is not about me. Everything is about God. That's what it means to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. By the way, the word kingdom is the Greek word basileia, where Jesus tells us to pray every day, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. The word kingdom is the word basileia. It means the rulership of God. When we are seeking the rulership of God, number one, and the will of God, number one, His blessings flow. When we don't, there's another God before Him, and that God can be us, and that God can be money, and these are the American gods today that God is cursing. Number two, false religions and heresy. God has promised that if there's any other religion, that He would curse those religions. Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, there are many other religions, Eastern religions, New Age movement, and all those things like that. Now, I know that there are Mormons and Jehovah's Witness that are very sincere people or whatever, but you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, those are heresies. They're heresies because they have doctrines in them that are very dangerous. Let me give you an example of Mormonism. Mormons believe that Jesus and Satan are brothers. And they believe that we're going to be a God one day, just exactly like God and equal to Him. I mean, there are all kinds of strange beliefs. The issue of Jehovah's Witness believe that Jesus isn't equal with God, that He is God Jr. They believe that the Holy Spirit is just an impersonal force and doesn't even have a person related to Him. The Jehovah's Witness have predicted the end of the world over and over and over in their Watchtower magazine incorrectly. There are all kinds of flaws in those. They're all a fake Christianity. They all have serious flaws in those. Well, you know, some of you may have family or parents involved in those. I'm just saying, obviously, you know, you're probably out of that. I spoke on this one time and had someone get right in my face arguing that Mormonism was fine. And I just said, well, you're just wrong. You know, it's just, study it, you'll find out. It has nothing to do with Christianity. It's completely opposite. But let me tell you one of the worst religions that affects Christians, and it's Freemasonry. A lot of Christian people are Freemasons. A lot of Christian men are Freemasons. There are churches that have Freemason days in those churches. Now, the Freemasonry, there are many good works that they do. As a civic organization goes, they do a lot of good works. But it's a religion. It's not a civic club. It is a religion. It's a secret society. To join the Masons, it's a secretive thing. The word occult means secret. But God is a God of light. He's revelatory. There's nothing secret about God. He wants to reveal Himself. That's the difference between God and the devil, light and darkness. Now, most people who get involved in Freemasonry, I don't believe that they're evil, and I don't think they get involved for the religion. I think most people who get involved, whether it's the the woman's form of it or the men's form of it. Most people who get involved for relationships or business or the good works that they do, because there are many good works that they do. But understand this, that Freemasonry is a religion, and at the heart of that religion, it is Luciferian, which means that their core beliefs revolve around certain things about the devil and God that are heretical. Again, nothing to do with the Scripture. And I encourage you now, if you've been involved in this or if your family's been involved in it, I just encourage you to look it up, you know, just to look into it. Again, I wish the Masons would continue to do all their good works, but just to drop the religious form of what they're doing. But I want you to understand this. If you become a part of that, you incur the penalty for it because it is a false religion. Now, I did my uncle's funeral years ago, if you've ever been to a Mason's funeral. I did my uncle's funeral years ago. I didn't know very much about the Masons at that point. But I preached his funeral, and there were a group of men there who were ready to do the Masonic rites at his funeral. Well, they get up in front of the casket at the funeral, and they begin to pronounce curses. And they say, if anyone talks bad about our brother, may their throat be slit, may they be disemboweled. And I'm just thinking, well, this is just precious. You know, what a precious little ceremony this is. Well, they've got all kinds of those things that they do. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it's wrong. And I realize there may be some of you here today and your family was involved in that. Let me say one other thing. And again, I know that this will stir some of you up, and I hope it does, to examine this more closely. We have in our church here a ministry of deliverance where we lead people through to get rid of demonic influence in their life. Things, Christian people, just people who are oppressed in their minds, their bodies, in an area of their life or whatever. One of the common roots that we find often in counseling is a background in Freemasonry, either by an individual or by their family. Again, because the church excuses it. Many Christian people, many of our presidents have been Masons. I visited the White House. The cornerstone of the White House of our United States is a Masonic cornerstone. And so many of our forefathers were Masons. And I'm saying that if you study it carefully, you will realize it is not Christianity in any way, shape, or form. And there is a severe penalty, in my opinion, for becoming a part of that as a religious form, not the civic works. But I'm saying, unfortunately, to become a part of the civic works, you have to join the organization. I think it's wrong. The third thing that there is a horrible consequence to is the occult. And the occult, feeding our desire for knowledge of power through illegitimate means. The occult, witchcraft, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians or 1 Samuel 15, it's like divination. Rebellion is like divination and witchcraft. But witchcraft means power, seeking power through an illegitimate means. Divination means seeking knowledge through an illegitimate means. Now, by the way, I don't know if you've noticed this, but it's called necromancy, and it's happening on television pretty much every day. There's no boy on television right now, and he talks to the dead. And there's a group of people seated around this guy. This is a very popular program now. A lot of people are watching, and he sits there, and he's talking to people, and he says, I see someone, they're with you, and it's a man, and he's saying that, you know, this and this and this, and they're going, oh yes, oh, you know, that's my Uncle Harry, and yeah, that's what he always used to say. That's called necromancy. That is trafficking with the dead. It's demonic. There's a tremendous consequence, ladies and gentlemen, brought to psychics, voodoo, astrology, tarot cards, divination, all this. Sorcery is through material objects, voodoo. Drugs. By the way, the word for witchcraft in the New Testament is the word pharmakia. That drugs are a mechanism, mind-altering drugs. I'm not talking about medicinal drugs. I'm talking about mind-altering drugs are one of the major entry points for the demonic into a person's life. In the Old Testament, it's just voodoo. It's just using a substance to open ourselves up to those kinds of things. Deuteronomy 18. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes a son or daughter pass through the fire, or anyone who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. If you've ever had your palm read, there could have been a curse right then come upon your life. Because that is using a false... Let me just tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You don't have to get your palm read to know your future. The Bible tells you your future. Amen. The Holy Spirit will tell you your future. Tea leaf reading. Psychics, mediums, spiritists, Ouija boards. All of those things bring a curse very, very serious in the eyes of God. Acts 19, many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, and it was 50,000 pieces of silver, $250,000. They preached the gospel in one community, and in this community they found that these people who had been involved in witchcraft realized that this was illegitimate. They ran home, grabbed their stuff that they had used to do all their things, and burned them $250,000 worth of stuff. And I'm encouraging you today, if there is anything in your home, anything that is attached to witchcraft, the occult, a Ouija board, tarot cards, anything that you can go home and associate with something evil or demonic, get rid of it. Let me just tell you one other thing. I was called one day by people who were not Christians. These people were not Christians. And they called me on the telephone one day about 15 years ago, and they said to my secretary, "We are not Christians and we do not go to church. However, there is something evil in our home. And we would like for Jimmy to come out and get rid of it." This is the truth. Ghostbusters. So, anyway, I said, okay. And I kind of liked it. So I went out to this house and walked in. Very nice people, just really sweet people. And I walked in the house. Sure enough, I mean, the minute I passed into their front door, it was evil. There's just no doubt about it. And I just, "Would you mind if I walk through your house for just a minute?" And they said, "No, not at all." So I walked back and forth in the house and just walked into every room and looked. The kitchen looked normal, and their bedroom looked normal, and the bathrooms looked normal, and things like that. And then I walked into their daughter's bedroom, and there were evil posters on her walls. Very evil. I mean, obviously evil, of rock groups and just different satanic symbols and things like that. And I stopped and I said, "Well, that's it right there." And they said, "Well, what are you talking about?" And I said, those posters right there, those are evil." And I said, "How long has she had those?" And they said, "About a week." And I said, "Well, how long has this evil been in your house?" They said, "A week." And I said, "Honey," and I looked at the little girl, and I said, "Honey, would you mind taking those down and taking them outside and throwing them away?" And she said, no. And she went over, she's a real sweet girl. And just a friend had given them to her. And she went over and took them off the wall and took them outside. And I set them down and I said, "You know, there is evil, there's good and there's evil. And you need to understand that there's a consequence to evil. And that is, you can't bring evil music into your home and keep the devil out. You can't bring evil pictures into your home and keep the devil out. You can't bring evil entertainment into your home. You know, we're the only society in the world that tries to scare ourselves to death and then wonder why we're scared all the time." You know, and so, you know, you watch Friday the 13th 85 times and then go to the doctor and say, "I just can't understand all the anxiety in my life." You know, whatever. So, she took the posters outside. I explained that to them. And I said, would you folks like to receive the Lord? And they said, "Please." The whole family got saved that day. Isn't that I just love that. So, you have no other gods before God. Don't involve yourself in any other religions. You don't need any other power other than God. You don't need any other knowledge other than God. God is fully capable of doing anything in your life that needs to be done. Great to be involved in civic works and good organizations as long as they don't have a religious affiliations that have beliefs contrary to the Word of God. C, rebellion to authority brings a curse. 1 Samuel 15, then Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has rejected you from being king." Now listen to me. God curses rebellion to authority. Jesus says for us to pray that things would be done on earth as they're done in heaven. Well, in heaven there's obedience, and on earth there's rebellion. In America today, we exalt rebellion. We exalt it. But let me tell you what stubbornness is. Stubbornness is worshiping your own opinion. That's what it is. You're very difficult to talk to. It's your way, and anytime it's not your way, that's called being stiff-necked. They may drag you to the gate, but you're going to drag all the way there. And you say, "Well, we just think things through, and we're just a little stubborn." And God says, "That's fine. That's like the sin of witchcraft to Him, and idolatry. And idolatry meaning you worship yourself rather than worshiping God. You don't have a teachable spirit." Romans 13, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And all authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a source of terror for good works, but for evil. Do you want to be afraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. And I'm telling you, if you're a believer and have an unsaved boss, submit to your unsaved boss. If you're a believer and have an unsaved husband, you respect that unsaved husband. And what if they ask you to sin? You respectfully decline, but you respectfully decline. And that you're careful. And there are people who don't pay their taxes, and they're rebellious, and they rebel at work, and they wonder why life isn't good to them. Because God says, all authority represents me. All authority is from me. Listen to what it says about children, Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This isn't talking about grown-ups now who've left home. We're to honor our mothers and fathers. But it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Honor your mother and father, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may be well with you and you would live long on the earth. God knew how important it would be for children to submit to their parents, because when children stop submitting to their parents, society breaks down on every level. And God says, let me just tell you, I'm going to make this commandment for children to obey their parents, and I'm going to put a promise with it that if you will, that life will go good for you and you will live long on the earth, and that you honor your mother and father, and that blessing will come upon you. The other side of that is, if you dishonor your parents, and if you rebel against your parents, you cannot claim the blessing of long life, and things will go well with you. There are people today as adults who are cursed because of their constant rebellion against their parents that they never made right, and an attitude of dishonor. Your parents could have hurt you very deeply or done many things wrong, but I'll tell you, dishonor is against the commandment of God, and it brings a curse on it. Obedience brings a blessing, and disobedience brings a curse. Number four, violation of God's moral and ethical standards brings a curse. In Deuteronomy 27, when I was talking to you earlier, the children of Israel came into the promised land, and when they came in, this is what they said between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim that the people had to affirm. And here's what it says, Deuteronomy 27. Cursed is the one who makes any carved or molded image or abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall say amen. Cursed is the one who treats his father or mother with contempt. And all the people shall say amen. Cursed is the one who moves his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say amen. Cursed is the one who makes the blind to wander off the road. And all the people shall say amen. Cursed is the one who perverts the justice due to the stranger, the fatherless, or the widow. Cursed is the one who lies with his father's wife because he has uncovered his father's bed. Cursed is the one who lies with any kind of animal. Cursed is the one who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. Cursed is the one who lies with his mother-in-law. Cursed is the one who attacks his neighbor secretly. Cursed is the one who takes a bribe to slay an innocent person. Cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law. And God goes right down and says, I have rules, and when you break my rules, there's a curse that comes. The Ten Commandments are still in force today. Jesus took the Ten Commandments and put them in a nice, sweet package. And he says, let me just take all the commandments and all the rules and reduce them down to two. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as you would yourself. He said, if you do that, you've done it all. What if you don't do that? If you violate other people, if you're immoral, if you're unjust, if you mistreat others, if you put God second and you have other gods before him, you violated the commandments. Leviticus 18:22, the Bible tells us it's an abomination for a man to lie with another man or a woman to lie with another woman sexually the way they would with their partner. And we know that with a person of the opposite sex that they're married to, and we know that homosexuality is something in our nation that is very politically correct, and many people want the church and Christian people to buy into. Well, ladies and gentlemen, God loves people who are homosexuals as much as he loves anyone else. That's not the issue. It's just an abomination to God for a person to reject his plan for a man-made plan, which is a man with a man or a woman with a woman. You know, there are many of us who are tempted to do many things. But just because we're tempted doesn't mean we can develop a lifestyle out of it and accuse it and excuse it. And so they may be tempted in that way, but God says it's an abomination to practice that, and there's a curse that comes upon it. I think we ought to love people who are involved in all lifestyles of sin. We ought to love them and try to lead them to the Lord, but we shouldn't buy into that because it's still wrong and there's still a curse that comes upon it. You don't have to look very far to see that there's a curse that comes upon that lifestyle. Number five, trusting in human or personal ability more than God. It's called humanism. Trusting in people or trusting in ourselves more than we trust in God. Jeremiah 17. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see good when it comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease to yield fruit. Humanism means that we trust people more than we trust God. It's the official religion of America today. We have excluded God from our schools and say we can make it without it. The human potential, we have the potential as humans to do anything we want to do. God came to the Tower of Babel and they were building a tower into the heavens without God. And God said, if we don't divide these people, nothing will be impossible for them. Why? Because we're made in the image of God. We have tremendous potential without God. And that's why certain people begin to look at their own potential and worship that potential. And let me just tell you, you can be a Christian humanist, and a Christian humanist is this: you don't pray. Living a life without prayer is saying, I can do it without God. If you believe that you had to have God to do it, you'd pray. Believing, waking up, I heard someone say one time, any day without prayer is a boast against God. I don't need your help in this meeting today. I don't need your help raising my children today. I don't need your help being a wife or a husband today. I don't need your help in business today. I don't need your help making decisions today. I don't need the help of the Holy Spirit to be able to love people the way you want them loved. I don't need your help to lead people to Christ or be a good witness. I'm going to live this day and I can do it myself. And then we're stressed out and worn out and we wonder why. It's called humanism. Living life by our power. Here's what Jesus says in John 5. The Son of Man does nothing of His own initiative, but only what He sees the Father doing. Nothing, not one single thing. Jesus says, I never initiate an action unless God approves it. Everything I do is under the blessing of God. Let me just tell you, that's why He was Jesus. That's why He raised the dead. Because every single thing He did was of God and led by God. Legalism is a form of humanism because it says, by my good works and by my religious performance, I can please the needs of the religious requirements of God. Carnality, just living by our own power, and also apostasy, which means inventing our own religion or rejecting Christianity in its pure form. Here's what Paul said in Galatians. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you to His grace to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel to you other than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now we say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. David Koresh. And you see people saying that they are Jesus Christ, they are the Messiah, preaching another gospel, you'll always find a curse on that human being. You take the Bible and you take it and mold it into your image or reject the beliefs that you don't like and put in ones that you like or whatever. And there are the craziest doctrines out there, the craziest beliefs out there. And people take religion or they take Christianity and they just change it. And the Apostle Paul says, if any human takes this, the pure gospel of Christ, and changes it, let the curse of God come upon that person. It's a form of humanism. I can do whatever I want to do with religion, and it's okay. And number six, robbing God, and that means not tithing and giving. Now, I'm a preacher, and so you can imagine what I think about the subject. But Malachi 3, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, and what have we robbed you in tithes and offerings? You are cursed with a curse, you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing that there will not be a room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts, and all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land. And God says, you robbed me. Now understand, the first 10% of what we receive, according to the Bible, is God's. It belongs to God. It's under the ban is literally what it means. You can't take it and spend it. If you do, you're in rebellion to God. You give the first 10% to Him. Why? Because Jesus says wherever your treasures are, that there is where your heart will be also. When your money goes away from God, so does your heart. Whenever you give to the Lord, it keeps your heart connected to Him. That's what Jesus says. It's impossible to disconnect your treasures in your heart. Wherever your money goes, the first of your money goes to God, it keeps your heart there. The second reason is because everything you have came from Him. It is only right that we send Him a thank you note. And that thank you note comes in real form. Every time we receive something, we turn back and say, I'm giving this to expand your kingdom and finance the gospel. And in giving this, I'm saying, you're Lord over my finances, and I know everything I have came from you. Here's 10%. And God says, if you would do that, I would rebuke the devourer, and I would pour out the blessings of God. Open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessings of God. What if you don't do that? I have a collection agency. And He doesn't take 10%. He takes 10% in interest. In other words, you never get away with it. You just hate yourself if you rob God. You just hate yourself because of all the punishment and curses that come upon you because of that. When someone told me that you needed to give to the church, I thought they were insane. I couldn't imagine it. Many years ago, before I started tithing, I couldn't imagine it. I made $7,000 total income the year we started tithing, and we had a small child. So if you got a bad story, let's come share them. Okay, $7,000. If you're on welfare, you're making more than that. $7,000. We lived in an FHA home because we could not afford a home. We went down to Canyon, Texas and bought an FHA home, and the payments were based on our income, and our payment was $100. They feel sorry for us. And we started tithing then. And a miracle. I mean, miracle after miracle after miracle. Before that time, if it wasn't for float, we would have always been bankrupt. Just the ability to write a check and just pray that it not get there before the money did. When we started tithing, I didn't make immediately more money, but we just started being blessed. Number 7, reason for curses. Self-imposed curses through sinful speech. We can impose curses upon ourselves. Matthew 12, Jesus says, I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. So obviously our words are extremely important. Proverbs 18, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, and from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now here's the interesting thing, and let me just give you several examples and we'll close. In Genesis 27, Rebekah is Jacob's mother. And Rebekah is trying to talk her son Jacob into fooling his old blind daddy. Now that's low life, you just have to admit that. He was trying to rob Esau's blessing, and so Rebekah says to him, Let's put some skins on you and an odor on you like a hunter, because he was, they say, was a man given to the indoors like men on soap operas. He was given to the indoors, and his brother was a hunter. So they put this skin on him and the odor on him to fool his old blind daddy. And he goes in to his father, Jacob, or his father, Isaac, and he goes in there, and his father starts rubbing on him. And he says, is this my son Esau? And see, Jacob knew that his dad was sharp. And he says, Mom, if Dad finds out that this is me and not Esau, he's going to curse me. And Rebekah said, let the curse come on me. It did. By the end of that chapter, she says, I'm weary of life. The curse of God had fallen on her. Let me tell you another fascinating one. Jesus told Peter that when he was dying, that Peter would deny him. And sure enough, Peter denied him. Outside Caiaphas's house where Jesus was being beaten and accused, the little girl came up to Peter and began to ask him questions, and he denied knowing Jesus. When Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus said, go tell the disciples and Peter that I am risen. Jesus no longer considered him a disciple. It was not until the Sea of Galilee when Jesus walked up to Peter and said, do you love me? than feed my sheep. He recruited Peter. Peter cursed himself by saying, I do not know that man. I have nothing to do with him. Pontius Pilate was examining Jesus on behalf of the Pharisees. And Pontius Pilate came out and they were saying, you know, give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas. And he came out and he said to them, this man is innocent. This man has done nothing wrong. And the children of Israel said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. And 40 years later, the Roman Emperor Titus came, destroyed their nation, raised their city, and dispersed them to the four winds. You can curse yourself. You can curse yourself by saying, I'm just a loser. I can never get ahead. Blah, 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 blah. And you speak a curse. You know, when sickness goes around, I'm like a magnet. I get everything. And you sit there and talk about your sicknesses and talk about your sicknesses, and the devil says, hey, do we have a little demon of infirmity somewhere? We've got a guy right here just talking himself into it. Come over here. Yeah, right there. The power of death and life, blessing and cursing, is in your mouth. You can bless yourself or you can curse yourself. That's why we say kazunhai. Someone sneezes, bless you. Why? Because a lot of people used to believe when a person sneezed, a demon came out. And they were saying, bless you, so the demon go whew, around them. Here's what I want you to understand. God has clearly revealed in His Word why people are blessed and why people are cursed. There's no secret to it. There's nothing left to the imagination. When you read the Bible, you see a consistent pattern of God. He is the most predictable person in the entire universe. When you obey Him, 100% of the time He'll bless you. When you disobey Him and don't repent and don't receive forgiveness from that, 100% of the time there will be consequences. And God's very creative in the way He does those consequences, the way He works those consequences. And God's not trying to hurt anyone. God is trying to get us to understand He's God and He will not be defied. That He is worthy of worship and that we are not God. And He won't tolerate His creation turning on Him and inventing our own system. And so when we live under this, we live under the blessings. When we reject it, we live under the curses. But today we can be free.
This concludes Session 4. Please continue with Freedom from Generational Curses, the next teaching in this series.